come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. The second reading is from Matthew 10, 26 through 33. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. May Paul's words and the meditation in our hearts and mind be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Meredith. Thank you all. What a joyful worship we have today.
Today's message is using both the Old and the New Testament. For some, this is called Creation Sunday. We've been following the lectionary, not because we follow tradition, but because we're guided by the Lord. And so the lectionary gives us these opportunities to explore and maybe even bump into Jesus. And now I'm going to have technical difficulties. There we go. So, we started a year ago on a journey. Those of you who are new to us may have been at the start of the journey. I know Jeff and Becky were. The journey really is to bump into Jesus a little more consciously and to help others bump into Jesus by what we do and how we do it. And so today we're going to look at doing that in a garden. Y'all know what yesterday was. Not a religious holiday. It was the beginning of summer. It was the longest day of the year. It's called, I think my scientist friends can help me, I think it was called the summer solstice. Thank you. There are solstices and there are equinoxes. This was a solstice. And so on the longest day of the year, it might be good for us to reevaluate know, but we need to grow in our understanding and our faith. And so we're going to talk about growth a little bit. We're going to talk about gardens, and since Eden Mennonite is here, Garden of Eden, you know, we thought maybe pump that in a little bit, Eden Garden, whatever. We won't talk much about Eden, that garden, but we will talk about two things. A physical or a temporal garden, that garden here on earth, and we're going to talk about spiritual gardens of wisdom.
So bear with me. We're going to start talking about tools, and these core values are our tools. Today, an odd spiritual tool is
an apple. And so I'd like you to take an apple today. Hadley's going to come forward, and she's going to give you an apple. It doesn't look like your traditional tool, does it? But it is, in Psalms, just that. So take one. Don't throw it at me during the sermon. If it gets too long, you can't drop it, and that'll give me a hint that you've fallen asleep. Apples, a tool for a journey.
Actually, this apple, and I hope every apple you pick up from now on, serves as a reminder of who we are and what we're up to. So when all else is lost, when there's a little darkness and despair,
when maybe there's troubles, we all have troubles here in this temporal world, grab an apple and remember Psalms 10.
We're going to talk today about apples, body parts, earthly gardens, and
spiritual wisdom. It's a lot on our plate, and I've got 3 minutes. So if you would bear with me, give me maybe 7-8 minutes. Let's see where we go. Hopefully forward. So the big idea today, if you fell asleep for the rest of it, the big idea here today on summer, the day, first day of true summer, is there's two kinds of gardens. You are in partnership with the gardener. By the way, we labor in both these gardens. That physical garden, you know, needs water and fertilizer. I'll ask our John Deere man, what else do you put in the ground to make stuff grow? Seeds, good, good. And with the seeds is?
Fertilizer.
Weeds and fertilizer. And fertilizer sometimes makes the weeds grow, doesn't it?
That's the story of our physical garden. There's also a spiritual garden. It's a fact. And that's the one, remember your scripture, that thrives on three things:
faith, love, and hope. Remember that verse?
But the greatest of these is? Thank you. You do know the good word. By the way, I'm going to be using two different versions today, because this is a tough passage, and I was missing stuff. So I did use the King James Version for the New Testament, and I did use the NIV for the body of this. This is more practical English. This actually is translated from Greek. So we're going to use some Greek today, too. So, just to be clear, the tools in the Creator's garden might look a little different from the tools we use in our garden. It's still a garden. To be clear, there are gardens of the earth, and there are spiritual gardens of heaven and of the soul. See, our soul grows in a garden too, doesn't it? Besides the apple we heard about today, our scripture is going to highlight creatures of the garden. Did you catch that one in the New Testament? By the way, that was Jesus talking. If you have a red letter edition, you can sometimes pick out what Jesus is really saying. I have to use it because my eyes don't work so well. So in this red letter edition, Jesus talks about sparrows in the garden. In this physical, temporal world, things operate differently. Temporal, it's Greek. Our Greek scholars among us would remind us that temporal and the word temporary come from Greek. So long story short, your garden here is temporary. Raise it well. Use your John Deere. Get that garden to grow, but remember, it's temporary. Temporal. There is another reality, a spiritual reality. This is that eternal world, the place we go to when our work in this garden is done. The eternal garden is what Jesus announced when he came. You know what Jesus said? He said, I come to announce the kingdom of heaven. It's a garden. It's a garden where we grow souls. Yes, we need tools to grow our souls here in preparation for the eternal garden. Let's look at the Old Testament before we hop in to the new one and walk with Jesus a little bit. Why do I keep going backwards? I'm trying to keep you awake. This is a prayer of David. You remember Psalms. Most of them were written by David. He was king of Israel. He's also called a prophet, one of the major prophets of what we experience now. That's why we read Psalms. And this one is not a worship hymn. This one we read today is not a song. It's not really even a poem. My heading says, a prayer of David. A little bit different. So we want to pay attention to this prayer of David. What's he saying? Well, in Psalm 17, first, he speaks of the parts of the body. You could even list them in your little bulletin if you're following the sermon notes. But there's five of them, right? There's five of them. Did you catch them? Ears, lips, eyes, heart, and feet. Meredith read that for you. So which body part does God touch in the dark of night? When you're all alone, when that busy temporal world is asleep, which one does God touch? Which one brings us closer to the light of the Savior? Which one shields us from fear and evil in this worldly garden? Well, it's our heart. It's our heart. That's what this prayer is about. It's a prayer for a changed heart. Your heart. Changed heart in both the physical and the spiritual sense. A changed heart is what Jesus said, you got to show the world. You got to do that. I can't do that. My wife can't do it. Not even my grandson can do that. I got to show the world that changed heart. That changed heart becomes the kingdom of heaven, the one Jesus announced. David also speaks of a spiritual garden, a world where a changed heart transforms you into the apple. Hold up your apple. An apple of God's eye. How cool is that? Isn't that a yearning? Wouldn't you want to be the apple? My dad used to say this. Oh, and here's little Polly. He's the apple of my eye. He didn't say that when I was your age, because I wasn't his apple anymore. But he did that when I was younger. That's where this comes from. That saying comes from Psalms. So how do we transform into the apple of God's eye? I don't have the answer. But Jesus does.
Jesus told us how to be the apple of God's eye. How to carry your mission out into the world. So let me ask you a question for a minute. Are you one of the 12? You know, those 12? Shaking your head, nah, that's ancient history. And doesn't make much sense to me anyway. And a bunch of dead guys and girls. The answer is yes, you are one of the 12. That's what Jesus commissioned you to do. That's what we reminded ourselves of right here at the Lord's table. Jesus said, I'm going back to my Father. I ain't going to be here. It's all about you. You're going to have to do it. So, imagine for a minute you're called as one of the 12. Just imagine that. And here you are standing around Jesus. The goal of this lesson, by the way, Jesus is teaching and he's anointing for authority. He's telling you, you're going to be called. Now you can ignore it, or you can follow it. So, as you're standing there in the desert, it was probably in Palestine where he was speaking. It was probably in the warmth of the day. Can you see Jesus' eyes as he's speaking to you? Can you look a little more deeply? Can you feel the desert sun on your back? It's not hot yet, but it's warm. And Jesus starts. He starts slowly. If you want, read back, because there's a rich part of this that we didn't read today. Read back to the start of Matthew 10. So he's speaking slowly about this physical world that we all are in. And then he does something interesting. He challenges you to leave your comfort zone. I want you to leave what's comfortable, he says. I want you to grow the garden of God in the here and now, right now. And he says, tell everyone, and here's a quote from both of these versions, tell everyone you meet, the kingdom of heaven is near. I'm not going to tell them. You tell them. Use your mouth. His eyes pierce you now. Pay attention to the spiritual world as well as the physical world, he says. And here's the warning from the teacher. He says, things growing in our garden are both beautiful and treacherous. There's both hope and despair in your garden. And he says, clearly, this is a part that's hard for us, isn't it? He says, clearly, be careful of the dark one. In a garden? Yeah, that's what it says here. He says, be careful of the dark one who can destroy both the physical and the spiritual. That's some power, isn't it? A God would create that? The answer is yes. You see, we're in a divine drama. It's a play of epic proportions. And Satan is the antagonist. As Jesus talks to you in the desert, he's speaking about Satan. Are you paying attention to Jesus a little bit more now? This is an important lesson. Jesus says there will be a spiritual battle in the garden. There's going to be a battle.
And you're going to need to grow your own soul as well as tending to other people's souls. But remember, you're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of God's eye. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than the sparrows, those songbirds in the garden. You're worth more than those. And what does God do for them? Protects them. But beware. There will be temptation.
Jesus is now continuing, and this lesson becomes your spiritual battle. It becomes your battlefield in your own garden. It's not my garden, by the way. It's your garden.
And he says, in our world, there is an enemy that tries to destroy your garden. In other translations, this is the one that I picked up for this. The translation, Jesus says, Beelzebul. Did I pronounce that right? Beelzebul. Our culture has translated it into kind of a cartoonish character. Sometimes it's a vampire, sometimes it's just somebody in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But, you know, this isn't a movie. This is a grand drama. And Beelzebul, quite literally, I had to look this one up, it's Greek for devil, Satan, prince of darkness. And Jesus says he exists, he lives, to bring anarchy and disorder. Have you ever felt that? I kind of get disordered once in a while. I kind of have my doubts. Jesus says, this one will tempt you to deny God, to disown God in your own garden. He says, you have a choice. You can embrace this temptation. Many of us do. But there's a price. You'll lose your soul in the garden. He says you will lose the very presence of God, which is our protector. He says the garden you tend here in the physical world will become chaos. Disasters will befall you. Weeds will choke the flowers that you've planted. He says the fruit will die and the harvest will be taken from you. And then, if you deny God, likewise, the garden awaiting you in the kingdom, what happens? Well, it'll wither and it'll die. And then, where does your eternal soul rest, if not in that garden? I'd like to end with some hope.
Kind of grim words from Jesus. I don't like to really preach on these a lot, but they're pretty important because Jesus took time to say them to you as a disciple. So where's the hope, Johnson?
Well, you've been gifted. You've been gifted with two gardens. Two beautiful gardens. Christ teaches us to grow them carefully. Work in them carefully. Work in that garden carefully this week. We're so proud of you guys. You came from the garden of Kansas to, well, you're going to see not so much of a garden tomorrow. You're going to see a burned up place that's been there for a year. And the people in that garden have lost hope. You're going to bring hope to those people. You're going to plant a garden. You're going to grow something this week. And by the way, growing is one of our core values in this congregation. How are you going to do it? Here's three simple things you can do. Grow your soul. Be an apple. And embrace the hope. All right. First, tend the garden you're given. I don't know what your garden looks like. There may be a few rocks, a bunch of weeds. But tend that garden. It's been given to you, and your soul will begin to sing when you do that. Second, remember, if you are the apple of God's eye here on earth, your spiritual garden will be endlessly green and gracious. Your soul yearns for that. And thirdly, choose carefully what you grow this week. Choose carefully, because your soul deserves it. Will you deny and disown the Creator? You can do it every day. Or would you embrace and acknowledge the Master Gardener, the one that planted the Garden of Eden, Eden Mennonite? Show love and care to every person you meet. That's what the gardener wants. Work in both the temporal and the spiritual gardens at the same time. And in the end, others will know how you tend those gardens, because they'll see you. May the garden you grow become the apple of God's eye. Amen.